Giddy up. The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Nick Kiprios, Derek Brandeo, and let's welcome back to the program, David Sis.
David Sis Boomba.
Sis Boomba is back.
Welcome, David. Yeah. Do you want more than that?
That's all I got.
That's all I got, too. Welcome.
He's got a really catchy nickname for him.
Did you know that he does work with my hometown on Sun Attack?
Is that right?
He does, yeah.
Loves the Attack.
And unfortunately, my beloved Attack are down 3-0 in the first round to the Memorial Cup host, Saginaw.
So, like,
wow. No.
Sisyphus.
Not going well,
pushing
boys.
Pushing a rock up a hill there.
Were That's we expecting well. This?
Yeah.
We were.
Yeah, very good. Sisyphus? Heard it. Yeah, we were. Unfortunately, we're down here for the boys. We'll be back next year.
All right. Welcome aboard, everybody, in Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus from 4 to 6. As always, download us when you can't catch us live on any of your favorite pods. And remember to text us 590, 590. Is this also a shortened week for us?
It is. It is. We're off Friday.
We're off Friday.
We are. Yeah. You know, those Blue Jays, they love to play day baseball, and we can't work during that time. We're just too invested in our beloved Toronto Blue Jays, who had such a wonderful evening last night.
They were really good, I thought.
Oh,
good process.
My God.
Can you?
No.
Let the Jays know if they're going to kick us off the air on Friday.
They better get a hit.
Got to get a hit.
Got to bonk the ball a couple of times. Yeah.
I'm telling you, not to do Jays takes, but like this offense, there's a lot of question marks coming into the season. This has a chance to be, you thought the vitriol about Dubas was bad? The vitriol about Ross Atkins this coming season, if it goes south, has a chance to be all world.
Didn't Teoscar hit two the first game or something?
He's really good. He's driving in Shohei Ohtani. I think Lourdes hit a bomb in three straight games. Gabriel Moreno's one of the best players in the league behind the dish. Like they've had a bad stretch of 2 years here, and it could get really bad if they're bad this year. So that's my Jays take off the top, boys.
I believe. They can pitch.
Bad night for the Jays.
Yeah.
Good one for the Toronto Maple Leafs, if end result is all that matters, against the Florida Panthers, where Austin Matthews scored 61 and 62. Where do you guys want to start? Because at the end of the day, it's a team that you're going to face, and it's a team that you beat. JB?
I think I want to start with, do you put stock or any merit into it? There's a funny tweet from our guy, the Oak Leafs, who was like, you know, when they were up 5-1, everyone was doing the whole, you can't read in anything into these games anyway. And then they start to give up the lead, and everyone's going, well, this just shows their playoff fragility. And I was like, do we not care about the game, or do we care about it? And so I go to you, Kipper.
I care.
Okay.
100% I care.
I sent out a tweet during the game, as I'm one to do, with the Bart Simpson, him writing on the board. And he's in detention, that I will not read too much into this game. I will not read too much into this game because, boy, did I want to read into it the first couple periods where I thought the Leafs looked energetic and
they
physical.
More invested in that game.
And I thought the Panthers looked tired and not their usual offended selves. So I don't know what you thought, Kipper, but
I can take a whole lot of good and some concerns or bad. I don't know where you want to categorize it, but if I'm talking about a Leaf team that is trending more to the good than the bad, I buy into that even last night.
Okay.
Yeah. So I didn't like the third period. I didn't like the sitting back. A trend that has been fairly common this season, whether we go back to the Carolina loss. Mm-hmm. Seems like there's been a lot of games where
Edmonton, where they were within a post from tying it.
Can't close out.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of other things that I like.
Yeah.
And what I like the most, probably if I'm a Leaf fan, is the fact that the Florida Panthers don't look so mighty anymore.
Yeah. I worry about the length of time they have to figure it out, but you're right. They don't look like what they looked like early in the season when they felt like the President's Trophy faves and, as you said, offended all the time.
Yeah. Like, I don't necessarily think that the Panthers are going to look the same way they did on, you know, April, whatever they start the playoffs if the Leafs are playing them. I think they'll have a little chance to rest or whatever and get riled up and they'll be inspired.
I'm not counting on them to look like they have in the last 2 weeks.
They do look tired, do they not? Like it's maybe caught up to them a little bit playing that way?
It wasn't too long ago where they lost all but three games in 20, I think, where they had this incredible stretch where we gave them first place in the Eastern Conference. We said they were the team to beat. They looked unbeatable in so many different ways, either putting the puck in the net, the power play, or the physicality and great goaltending. Mm-hmm. Now they've come back a little bit, and they're one of a handful of teams that can look vulnerable at times.
Yeah. You know, I think at times we pick the Leafs apart. It's our job. So we do pick them apart at times. It's good, I think, to step back and be like, man, last three games here, they took care of business, 5-1 against the Caps, 3-0 against the Sabres. Last night they get up 5-1 and end up winning 6-4, but they look like the better team. Like they're at a good place right now, and you can see they're missing key pieces. You know, Mitch Marner and Morgan Rielly haven't been playing, and then even more supporting cast, where it's easy to step back and say, I kind of like what's happening here. Ilya Samsonov, I know he gives up 4 in the end, but did you not feel in the early part of that game that he made some saves that, boy, I don't know, different goaltender in there, maybe it's a different outcome. I thought he was pretty darn good.
Listen, I can make an argument that they may have lost Saturday night against Buffalo if it wasn't for Samsonov.
You're right. I don't think that's an unreasonable thing to say. He was very good.
He was so good.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Sheldon Keefe for his overview of the game, and then we'll get into greater detail on what we saw last night.
Pretty direct and just putting pucks at the net, and we had people there, which was obviously important for us here tonight. I thought we were really good through two periods. They probably weren't at their best, and we capitalized on that. And then, probably a little bit of a, reverse in the third.
There you go.
There it is. There was good support players. I don't know how much they're going to factor in down the road, but Nick Robertson has these moments where you're like, he's going to score 30 for someone at some point, like the way he can skate and shoot. I know he does other things that we're less sure about, but pretty good support play, I thought, from the Leafs last night.
Well, when you factor in Matthew Nyes had a good game.
Yeah.
A Holmberg looked solid. Yeah. So these depth players are looking a lot more comfortable, for sure. Mm-hmm. Just to get your my thoughts on Nick Robertson is that he looks like a guy that's getting sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yeah.
And he's just going to go out there and play. He's going to hunt down pucks. He's going to be more forceful for a guy that doesn't look that big and strong and more assertive.
Yeah.
So his movements are a lot more confident.
He's quick.
Very quick, and we saw that on the breakaway.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's going to be in a starting role game one, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. What matters is that if he feels whenever his number is called upon, then he can find a way to contribute. Mm-hmm. That to me is the key for a successful team in the playoffs.
What happened when the Habs, the year they beat the Leafs, they scratched Cole Caulfield for the first two games of that series. Remember that? Where everyone was like, why isn't he playing? And there's a big uproar about him not being in the lineup. And then they started him in game 4 or game 3. He missed the first couple. And then he came back. He was inspired. He got hot. And he was one of the keys to their longer run.
Yeah.
I think there are some parallels where you sit him out for a couple playoff games, you need a jolt, and you put him in there and he gets a couple and he never comes back out again.
Yeah.
I will say that I've been one of the bigger Nick Robertson, I've been critical of him, but I think he looks a lot better than he has, and I loved him last night, except for the third period where he wasn't.
Turnover there.
I don't mind the comparison, but it's just unrealistic that Nick could come in to play that type of role that Cole Caulfield did.
Well, the opportunity won't be there.
It won't be there.
They have too many top guys, but I see your point, and I think, there's something to be said for a guy who you can see a world where they're not going to get some offense for a game or two, and he does come in and, there aren't many guys that when they get the puck, whether from distance or whatever, if he gets a look at the net, it's almost like Austin Matthews in terms of shooting. He can't create the shots as well. He doesn't get the opportunity as much. But his ability to put away an unscreened shot's up there with some of the elite guys. So, you can see him being involved here. Funny talking about Robertson like this because we're starting the show talking about him. and Samsonov, a guy who I think I've probably been the hardest on this show.
Mm.
And I mean, you're a fool if you don't change your mind after a certain amount of performances. Yeah. Like, he's been too good for me to think that he's anything but the guy. Game one. I'm back.
Okay, I'm not.
Oh, come on.
No. I don't want to take anything away from him. He deserves to be the first guy in the net. Game one.
Okay, that's all I'm saying.
I just don't think he's going to trust him still.
No, that's all.
Okay.
No.
So,
that's all. That's all I'm saying.
I'm with you there.
He could be a fish out of water, and we're not going to put on our surprise faces.
Not at all.
So, Steve.
So we're at the same place.
Same page.
Steve Simmons asked Keefe last night, one of the last questions in the scrum, alluded to the fact, like, if he's making your decision for you, sort of thing. Like, he asked him that question, and if you want to play the response to it, if you want to go to clip 7 there, Derek.
Perfect.
Well, I think he's definitely getting close to that in the sense that he's the goalie of record to help us win the first playoff series in a real long time here in the city. And there's that, first of all. Mm-hmm. And then there's the other part of it is him to find himself with his game. And he's certainly done that. Another good effort for him here again. It's a tough third period for our group and for him, but made some big saves for us again here tonight. He's certainly building lots of momentum. Joe Wall got experience last year too, and he'll be hungry. Our job is to have two goalies thriving and being ready to go when the playoffs come.
Hey, he called him the starter.
Yeah.
Listen,
he's a goalie record.
He knows there's some people in that room that are really dumb, but not that dumb to suggest anything but.
Yeah.
So, as we said, like a couple days ago, it's his to lose. That doesn't mean that out of 8 games, I don't know what you need Wall to get in. 3, maybe? Does he get
minimum?
Does Wall get tomorrow night?
Yeah.
No.
Why not?
No, I'm playing him against. You can't.
Maybe Saturday then.
Yes. Saturday in Montreal.
Wall Saturday in Montreal.
Yep. If you're
setting the stage to make one guy feel good, though, then Wall's going to get the worst team. He's going to play well. You guys are going to muddy the waters here.
There's no guarantee.
It's the same comma.
Like, we can make an argument either side.
I know. But it is interesting. They said that, you know, he's basically making the decision for me. What do you say? He's certainly moving in that direction. Yeah. He's the goalie of record. This guy, what day was he waived? I don't remember, but he was waived, and every team in the NHL said, don't want him. And he is your game one starter. Do you know how triumphant a comeback that is?
He was placed on waivers on New Year's Day.
They didn't want to play him in the American League for fear of it going worse.
Mm-hmm.
For fear of him getting lit there and going, God.
I know I'm going to throw something out that will make me sound like hindsight's 2020 here. But
I mean, that's what we do, baby. This is Sports Talk Radio.
I know. But if I'm a general manager right now on the outside looking in, like I would have claimed him.
Yeah.
I would have claimed him. It would have been
25-26. He's won a playoff round. Good stats.
He's on a 1-year deal.
Yeah.
With half of it gone. So if you would have claimed him, put him in a situation where he looked half decent.
Like Detroit doesn't want him?
Devils don't want him?
You could have gone back and traded him
at the
trade deadline.
Yeah. Oh, you're saying those teams. Yeah, you're right.
And if he would have got to the point where he looked really good, and if you're LA,
Jersey,
right?
Detroit.
Jersey, you knocked on the door of Markstrom, you didn't get him because the price was too high. Why wouldn't you have given up a second or a third for a rejuvenated Samsonov who you
for a flyer
essentially did what the Leafs did and give him a fresh start?
Anthony Petrilli brought this up with me on Leafs Talk. The Leafs waiver luck this year has been unbelievable.
Who else with Benoit?
Benoit, McMahon, and Martin Jones.
Ooh.
And Samsonov. And they all four of those guys. If Dubas is here, they all be gone.
That's a reasonable take.
Like Jersey. It's hard not to think.
Jersey, how could you not have put a claim in for a guy that's on an expiring contract that beat Tampa Bay last year in the first round?
Because you're like,
just
next,
a flyer.
Because you're like, he's no better than Akira Schmid, who maybe is going to turn into. God, Samsonov's young too. I don't know.
So, anyways.
Boys, he was so bad.
Oh, he was.
He was
unplayable.
Bad. He was bad. He was bad.
According, like I'm just, you know.
But you've also seen him really good a short while ago. It's not like he's been bad for many years.
His numbers when he was waived, he had an 862 save percentage,
862,
and a 394 goals against when he was
that's
waived.
Putrid. So I think that was the worst out of the 60 some goalies.
Yeah,
that he was. Yeah.
So there you go. Anyways.
Other positives that I saw last night as well, and just to go on our theme of supporting cast, like Matthew Nyes.
Yeah.
So here's a guy that has been thrown in coming out of college on a number one line, and hey, you know, turn yourself into Chris Kreider right away, by the way. It didn't happen. The numbers are really good considering you're a rookie guy coming out of college, but the expectations, I think, were the bar was so high for him, it was just unachievable, and that's why it feels at times that he's let maybe Leaf Nation down, but in reality, he's having a fantastic rookie year. He really
21-year-old who's got, I don't know, he's got 12 goals and 30-some points and plays a lot of minutes.
Does he hold on to the puck every once in a while? Does he turn it over in inopportune times? Yes, but that's all part of the learning curve of being an NHLer.
And he's one of those guys that can break it open in a moment. Like, he doesn't need to be great, but he'll get some chances too, like Robertson. He can put it away.
Did you want to hear Keefe talk about that line and Robertson? He was asked about Robertson and the guys he played with. It's a good clip. Number six there, Derek.
Huge goal. Loved it. He's got that game-breaking ability. It's what you love to see. You know, we talked as coaches before the game here today. I was going to put that line in some tough spots tonight on purpose and see how they could handle it. And some of it really good. That's a great moment in the game. They had a couple other really good moments. They obviously scored another goal in the second period. They're on the ice for the two goals in the third, you know. And again, I'm kind of purposely putting them in some tough spots and having them work their way through it. That's part of the growing pains. You got three first-year players essentially all in the on the same line. It's a tough opponent over there, but they'll be better having gone through it tonight.
That's interesting.
So were you pissed that they were on the ice in those situations? Because I was thinking to myself, like, why are they out there? And then he answered it post game.
I even noticed they had like the Reeves line. By the way, I thought Ryan Reeves was very good last night. He's skating way better than he did the first part of the year. But also, I thought it was notable that that line was out there protecting leads.
And then one tickled the twine.
One thing that does bother me about Sheldon doing this is like,
there's 9 games left.
It's almost a playoff.
Exactly.
Like, couldn't have done this in November.
November, December. This is what an 82 game regular season is for. Mm-hmm. Now you want to give them these moments, right? But you chose in November to play your horses 24 minutes a night. So I think probably somebody got into his ear a little bit.
Or, you know, maybe finally he feels like they're assured of where they're going to be in the playoffs and he wasn't so sure.
I just hope that there's enough time here that they can work themselves into those scenarios in the playoffs and remain calm.
But Kip, don't forget, this guy was coaching for his job at times in the regular season. I mean, we had him on the hot seat several times. There were times where it felt like he had must-win stretches of hockey where he was playing his stars like it was must-win hockey.
Particularly that Western road trip where they went and played, was it in Calgary, in Edmonton? Yeah. They blew that lead late in Edmonton and they played in Calgary, beat them, and then beat Seattle. I remember that. That was the time. I was in Vegas, that's why I remember.
Which is a valid point.
Yeah. It's not good.
But you're going into the first round when you lose. If you lose, when you lose game one or you're down 2-1 in the series, your job is on the line again.
Yes.
So what are you going to do? You're going to resort to what you did when your job was on the line in November or December.
Yes, absolutely.
So what is the point now then of...
Well, they didn't get the experience then, so I think better they get it now than not at all. I mean, it's cramming for the test a little bit.
Right. But he... The question is, in the playoffs, if there's a scenario where will you trust these guys or will you go back to your old ways?
You'll go back to your old ways because they're better.
But you didn't you have some great sample sizes with seven games to go in the regular season?
Yeah, and they got lit up. They scored on twice in the third period. Here's your sample size. We know to not do that.
But any coach, regardless of if their job's on the line or it's not, which it definitely is for Keefe, and I think he would understand that even if he was here and asked
him. He would say the same thing.
But, like, every coach is going to be playing to win every game hard in the playoffs. It's not like he's going to be experimenting then. Even if you're, whatever, Paul Maurice or any guy that has a job solid, they're not going to be experimenting in the playoffs. I think this is just kind of
but
the time of year.
I think the likelihood is that one of these guys may find themselves on a line. Yeah. You know, like you may find Nyes is with the big boys and needs to be in those moments or whatever. They won't be out there together, but they may be out there individually.
What'd you think of the Nyes jump when he jumped Mikkola?
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it. And, I mean,
clean hit by Mikkola, but like the
Hughes being that doesn't matter. Clean, not clean. I don't care.
Don't hurt our guy.
Yeah.
Don't
I thought it could have been a two for interference.
Sure.
But not like really dirty or anything.
Yeah, I guess I'm not here.
Yeah.
I wish it wasn't between his last fight and that attempt that it was like 2 months
you
ago.
You wish the gap wasn't so substantial.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, can you be that guy every night?
I do wonder.
Is it in you?
Yeah.
Well, Matthew Nyes.
I think when he toggles the switch on, it seems like they had a talk to me, like going into this game that, like, you can't go into that game and have Florida dominate you, physically humiliate you. Like, Nye's response there to me didn't feel like he was mad about what happened so much as being cognizant of the opponent and the situation in the season.
Yeah, I think one of the main, other than the Leafs goal scoring, which is clearly the most important part of the game, but I think one of the things we talked about a ton during that playoff series last year is that they looked like they were intimidated by the Florida Panthers, and they looked like they were physically outmatched, and they didn't enjoy that part of it. And watching that game last night, like, I couldn't help but think that the Leafs looked far less intimidated in terms of the physicality. Like,
well, they're just a different team.
They are, and they feel different
in
that
mindset,
way.
But it is, you know, even though it didn't look that way, you know, for a good portion of half the season, like the blueprint was drawn out by Brad Treliving that he wanted a heavier, snottier team. And although it took a while to arrive, I thought that was another different look last night, regardless of a bad third period, that they weren't intimidated. They didn't get run out of the building. It wasn't a Tkachuk and Bennett show last night where you're just eating a crap sandwich. And for Matthew Nyes to go from that of last spring to being buried by him and essentially knocked out of the series to a guy being the aggressor on Mikkola was another good sign for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
And I think, you know, some of the depth guys that they have been very good players. I think Andre Kasha is a good example of someone who I liked a lot as a player. Like, after the whistle, Tyler Bertuzzi hasn't been the greasy, tough guy I thought he might be, but it's nice that in those games he'll do it.
And he's always
there. He's a grease ball.
He's always there.
You know, and guys like Kasha and Mikheyev, and they weren't, right? No. Like, Bertuzzi does have his fist in people's face. The other thing I wanted to make sure I got out, because I have now praised Robertson and Samsonov, is that from the start of the year till now, I can't tell you how much better I think Max Domi is. And not that I think his skill is any different. I think his commitment to the defensive side of the puck, to being F3, to coming back hard, is really good. And I think you can play him on a line that cares about defense. Like, I think he's responsible enough now that I would put him on a line, like, I trust him now. And so that, like, yeah, these are, I know I'm coming out with a lot of, I've changed.
I trust.
I'm a new man today.
Yeah.
But I do, I just really feel like he's matured as a hockey player.
I don't think Marner's playing tomorrow night.
We have an update on Riley and Mitch from the coach this morning, if you'd like to hear it.
Yeah, I do.
Clip 8, please.
Morgan will be available for us. Mitch, I haven't had a chance to discuss with him here yet since he's come off the ice. But, you know, I think with him, we're just going to feel it out and talk to him and likely make it more of a target for the weekend.
Yeah. Like, if we're not sure, he's not playing, right?
Okay, they don't want him to play.
Pardon?
They don't want him to play weekend.
He's probably dying to play.
Yeah. I do think this is one of those things that wait until it's ready and tack on a week, you know? Like, I'm sure
that almost 3 weeks now.
The month of March, wasn't it?
It was the second, second Bruins game, right, that they played in Boston. They lost. Yeah, five, it was the March the 7th. It's now April.
Almost a month.
Yeah.
It's a long time.
I mean, ankles are tough. I was presuming, I think it's but ankle, right?
Don't, I mean, not they're going to rush him back and get it or whatever, but, like, they do need to get him playing hockey games here.
Yeah, he's got a few weeks.
Yeah, still, like, you need to.
It's close.
What's like, Montreal? Seven games to go?
Seven games to go, but that's March 6th. And the season ends the 11th, April 6th, right? The season ends the 17th something, and they play in the 20th. So it's good. It gives them 2 weeks.
All right, we cannot.
Riley, by the way, just quickly before we move on. Riley, Leafs now 4-0 again without him.
God.
just stay on positive, please.
But it is just one of those things. It's like, God, how big is the sample size going to get before
4-0 again? Like, he's like, could you guys just lose one?
Take an L.
All right, if you're going to go this negative way, Sammy, then let's talk a little bit before we break on the third period.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty important.
You cannot go the first block without
26 minutes.
I know, 26 minutes without mentioning a third period.
I lied. They're 3-1. They lost the Devils.
That's better.
Yeah.
I feel better.
I'm an idiot.
All right, let's go to Sheldon Keefe on his third period last night.
Clip two.
We just stopped moving the puck with any sort of efficiency, we just kind of lost our energy, we lost what we had going well for us in the second period, especially, in terms of what I put into it, I don't like it, but it's hard for me to put myself in their shoes, up four goals in game 74 and you're getting ready for game 75. So, we did enough good things through two periods to be able to have enough of a cushion to afford that, but obviously you don't like it.
What changes for you when this happens to them?
Just a lot of negativity, a lot of negative thoughts, negative vibes. Mm-hmm. They become timid or scared to.
I think they stop making plays. Like, I don't think it's about they're not banging it off the boards enough.
Well, they make bonehead plays too. They chase behind the net and they get dumb. It's the best way I can describe it.
But to me, it's like, there's this thing, you're up in a game and you're supposed to make the simple play, but that doesn't mean that you can't look for a good play. And a lot of times it becomes a just give it back to them and let them come back at you. Or they make a lot of plays earlier in the game and try to, hang on to the puck a little bit more.
If I was, if this hasn't happened in the past, what I would say to you is that they're missing three of their top six defensemen. They're missing two of their most defensively conscious forwards in Marner and Yarncroc. And they're playing Nick Robertson and Matthew Nyes and
Holmberg. Have been in the lineup, we've seen meltdowns in the third period.
But last night, to me, it was more about just who they were playing and situations and less about, history. Mm-hmm. It just thought, Ryan Reeves is on the ice to close the game, basically. They hadn't, Robertson was on the ice twice to give up a goal at the end. They're trying things out here. I don't think last night was as much about ghosts and, them getting nervous as it usually is in the other game.
All right.
Is that fair or no?
Yeah. And, the goals, we've praised Samsonov. Not the
I didn't
best,
like the you didn't ones. Like the Sam Reinhart goal where he's got all day to find a guy in the slot.
Didn't love Bennett's either.
It's from distance wrist.
Samsonov's is a bad goal he gave up to Bennett.
And that's allowed.
Right?
Mm-hmm. So we'll give him pass. Well.
Is it allowed?
It is.
Okay.
It is when you've been playing well since Jan, but yes, it's, you don't want to see, that's one of the things that makes me uncomfortable is, the knock was that you weren't sure if you could trust him when the moments got big, and that kind of reaffirms that a bit.
Quickly before we go, Simone Benoit last night, +4.
+4. Simone, how does he not have a milk sponsorship yet? How is he not brought to you by the Farmers of Ontario?
Big Milk?
Big Milk. What?
What's the connection?
You don't know he's a Big Milk guy? Haven't you seen this? He drinks milk every night before bed. The sport Leafs did a segment with him. They put five different milks in front of him, and he could sort them by different percentage of milk fat. He's a milk guy.
Really?
Grown man, glass of milk before bed every night.
When's the last time you drank a glass of milk?
I don't know. was like,
I like it in my cereal every once in a while.
Yeah.
Well,
you don't pour it in a pint glass, though.
I'm not sure I can tell you the difference between 2 and 3%, though. Yeah,
this guy's drinking it out of a pint glass like a child. I love it.
But I think, you know, I heard you guys on Friday talk about what Simone Benoit is. But, you know, again, he looks pretty good. Like, he's pretty young still, and to give him on that contract, and he's gotten back into the lineup and looked good. More questions about the playoff lineup when it comes to defense and
no
who starts.
No one's talking about Lily Pad. Where's Lily Pad? Is he alive?
No.
He's sure haven't missed him a ton. He's turned the closest thing into Jake Muzzin.
Who?
Lilligren.
Benoit.
Oh. Yeah.
For sure.
Lily Pad.
Well, yeah. Lily's been, he disappears sometimes. That's all. So I thought you meant.
Okay, we'll take a quick break. When we return, Luke Fox, NHL writer for Sportsnet.ca, will join us. A deeper dive into the Toronto Maple Leafs as they get ready for Tampa Bay Lightning tomorrow night. Don't go away.
Everything Raptors, before and after the games. The Raptor Show with Will Liu. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Leaf edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Let's welcome in Luke Fox. Luke.
There he is.
Luke.
Is this Darth Vader?
How are you doing, guys?
I think it was good, man. I think it was.
Sorry for your intro today.
I am not your father, Luke. What's going on, man? Every time we get you on the show, you get a day off. You notice
I don't
that?
Have a day off.
What, the Leafs canceled practice. You got the day off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But oh, I caught you in a lie.
I'm still writing.
I don't think so.
You definitely did.
Yeah. It's funny because the first time I heard the phrase rest is a weapon was when Guy Boucher was head coach of the Senators, and he would drag that out all the time. And it seems to be catching on in Leafs quarters. Sheldon Keefe was saying today that, you know, he loved how they responded from the New Jersey game when he called them out. They actually didn't practice, to your point, Nick, about them canceling practice. They didn't practice after that Jersey game. All they did was go over video of all their mistakes, and they came out and had a fine response. So that's kind of given the staff some confidence that maybe, hey, maybe video is okay at this point just because their schedule is just so packed and everything they're doing right now is with an eye toward the playoffs. So they're prioritizing rest over practice. But yeah, the original plan was to have a full practice and they just chopped it, sent the guys on exercise bikes and went over some tape.
That's good. Hey, you know what else is a weapon? Good cardio. So I hope they're staying on top of that, not just not practicing anymore. You know, looking at the standings today, waking up, and, you know, you're looking at all the playoff races, wild card spots, who can creep in. You look at the Leafs and where they're at. They're now 4 points behind Florida with a game in hand, and they play Florida again. Is there some thought, and frankly, they're only 6 back of Boston with 2 games in hand on them. Is there any thought that this would be worth pursuing for them? Does it make a difference if they get up there?
It doesn't feel like a priority.
No.
And what's interesting to me is that in past seasons, Sheldon Keefe has made it public that winning the Atlantic Division was a priority. I think he was kind of using that as a carrot, realizing on paper they have the talent. They should be able to win the division. They should be able to, you know, vie for a President's Trophy. So I think, you know, after a few playoff disappointments, he was kind of using that as something to shoot for, to try and make the regular season more meaningful. Mm-hmm. This year, it's not a topic of conversation at all. And it was interesting, you know, Paul Maurice brought it up yesterday when we were at the rink, basically saying, is home ice even an advantage? You look at the Panthers and the Leafs, their road records are fantastic. Their home records, not so good. So do you want to kill yourself to get home ice advantage when you're playing a team that's good on the road and you're good on the road? I don't know if it matters that much. Mm-hmm. I mean, you want to be feeling well. You don't want to go into the season on a 5-game losing streak. Like, you want to feel confident. But standings wise, it might actually help the Leafs to start on the road with a fresh set of mind and feel like an underdog.
We're talking to Luke Fox, who does a terrific job covering the Toronto Maple Leafs for Sportsnet.ca. Luke, not to take anything away from the Leafs in those first two periods, but were you and some of your colleagues in the press box watching the Florida Panthers last night and going, this definitely isn't the team that they were 6 weeks ago?
Yes. And the record will reflect that. I was working on a little something on Tarasenko, and it's kind of funny. You know, they make that ad, and on paper it looks great. You know, they get him at a bargain because he holds a full no move and can kind of force his hand to Florida. But he's been a bit of a funny fit. You know, he explodes for 3 points in the third period there. And they looked a little bit more themselves in the third. And that's probably partly the Leafs kind of stopped moving their feet as well. But the Panthers have looked a little off, and it's going to be interesting to see how that affects their postseason, because so much of their run to the Cup final was built on the momentum of them feeling like they were playing playoff games for a month. They felt like they had to scratch and claw into the postseason. So then when they finally got there and they drew this, you know, supposedly frightening one seed in the Boston Bruins that had just set records and everything, and everyone counted them out, they were already in playoff mode. And so if they go in like this, kind of middling their way through the stretch, I wonder if that could have a negative effect on them. Because you're right, Nick, they didn't look like the fearsome Panthers that they had shown through not only the playoffs last year, but the beginning of this season.
So we got some updates on some of the guys the Leafs will be presumably throwing in Florida when they get to playoffs. Morgan Riley going to come back on Wednesday, it sounds like. Mitch Marner, we're not clear on. What about Timothy Liljegren? I still don't even know what injury he has or a timeline or what they're looking at there.
Yeah, they say upper body, but they've gotten really secretive with the injury. So Morgan Riley, the plan is for him to return. And he was asked point blank during their avail today. And he said, yeah, it's nothing major. It's nothing I want to talk about. You know, he shut down. He didn't want to say how he got injured in Raleigh. You know, they're not going there. It's all of a sudden, you know, we're in playoff month. So everything's under lock and key. Mitch Marner sounds like probably Saturday now is where they're leaning towards. But yeah, Liljegren, it's going to be weeks. It's not a day-to-day situation. But what they're hoping for is that he gets back in at least one of those two games, the back-to-back final week of the season, squeeze him in so he's not coming in cold. But yeah, they're not, specifics on the injury, I don't know, and they're not saying.
Not sure, Luke, if there's even enough games in the regular season left for Samsonov to lose his status as being game one goaltender for the Toronto Maple Leafs, but is there any inkling that you have at all on how many starts they're going to give Wall between now and the end of the season? And we know they have three more games against Florida teams.
Yeah, I think it'll be probably an even split. I would for sure start Wall tomorrow against Tampa Bay. Some of Samsonov's worst outings were against Kucherov, lit him up, chased him a couple times back in the fall. Plus, Samsonov's just played two wins. Wall's been sitting for a while. So I would absolutely go back to Joseph Wall tomorrow against the Lightning, and I expect a pretty even split. I think you're right. I think, you know, Samsonov definitely has the lead. Sheldon Keefe was asked about it and said that it's close to being, you know, a foregone conclusion that he's the number one. But if we've learned anything from watching the Toronto Maple Leafs crease this year, we should know that nothing is guaranteed. So let's see how the final eight games here play out. But you know, if they were to start tomorrow, I would start Samsonov 100%. But, you know, they want both guys feeling good, because I don't think you'd have to stretch your mind too far to imagine both guys appearing in the series.
I also, there's got to be a 30% chance Martin Jones plays. Or like 20. He'll get in again in the regular season for sure, won't he?
I would think so. I mean, if fans recall how they finished the end of last year, they were calling up guys from the Marlies. It was like full load management because their playoff position was locked and loaded. So especially because their last two games are against Florida and Tampa, two teams they could meet down the road. I think you just prioritize health over everything. And so that includes the goalie. And Martin Jones is sitting there healthy and ready, capable. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised for him to get in one of those games.
And you know, presumably, like, if one of these guys who's injury prone gets injured and the other guy has a bad game or two, like, he legit may play. So that makes some sense to me. Special teams are an interesting topic for the Toronto Maple Leafs. PK kind of warming back up. It's been pretty bad this year. PP been pretty good this year. Kind of ice cold. Where are we at on the state of their special teams?
A real sore spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's fascinating is that it's flipped over the last week to 10 days. So I'll start with the positive, and that's the penalty kill that's finally getting some traction. They had a bunch of meetings about it, and Sheldon kind of said, to be honest, we probably should address this sooner. And some of us reporters were like, yeah, you're in the bottom third of the league all year long. But it's good. I mean, it's finding some traction at the right time, and that's without Marner, without Yarncroc. Part of it is, you know, that Bobby McMahon was saying is they're just more aggressive. They're thinking less. They're reading off each other a little bit better. Underlying all this, I think Samsonov has been phenomenal. He's been their best penalty killer on a lot of nights. So there's that too. But they're no longer the playoff team with the worst penalty kill percentage. It's on the rise. I think they're 15 for 15 or 16 for the last 16, something like that. So that's a good story. On the flip side, the power play has gone ice cold. And a lot of that is probably you don't have the engine there on the flank in Mitch Marner. That's part of it. I asked Sheldon Keefe about it after the game last night, and he said it's more than just that, though. He's like, we're just a little bit off. Our execution isn't there. We're not acting as quickly. You know, there's been some games, quite honestly, guys, where there's been more shorthanded chances the other way than the Leafs have had quality looks on their power play. And it's undone them in past playoffs, so they need to get that sharpened up. Maybe it starts tomorrow night now that Morgan Rielly's coming back because, you know, God loved Connor Timmins, but you don't want him running your PP1.
No.
So eventually, when everybody does come back healthy, Luke, who's on the outside looking in? Because we've seen two versions of the power play this season for the Toronto Maple Leafs, one that includes John Tavares and one that doesn't. And where is Tyler Bertuzzi in all of this on a power play scenario once the games really start mattering in the playoffs?
It's got to be Tavares. I just think, you know, Sheldon Keefe, his future with the team could be on the line in come playoff time. And who are you going to bet on? You're going to bet on the five guys that are the core of this team, that are the highest paid, that have spent the most time on the ice with one another. You know, I really look at the Bertuzzi thing as a midseason thing to help Bertuzzi get going. And excellent coaching by Keefe. You know, if we're going to criticize him when he does something wrong, we got to praise him for doing something right. I think giving Bertuzzi some time on PP1, what played a factor, it wasn't the whole thing, but it played a factor in him starting to put some pucks in the net and starting to get his confidence up. And it came at the right time. But when push comes to shove, you know, the same, we've seen this in the past too. It's like, okay, we'll try Klingberg on the point. We'll try Rasmus Sandin on the point. But I think when it really matters, we're going to go back to the five guys we've always seen running that thing.
So I know you spend every waking minute dissecting the NHL club, so not expecting an in-depth scouting report, but they signed Jacob Quillen, a guy out of Quinnipiac, who scored the goal in the Frozen Four game to break Matthew Knies' heart, right? To win the national championship. They got the kid.
And now teammates in the movie next year.
Could be. What do you know about this guy? What are your thoughts on this signing?
Yeah, I don't know a ton about him. I don't watch a lot of college hockey. No. We asked Matt Knies last night, actually, and he said he played one game against him. It was the championship game, the worst game of his life, basically. But, you know, good on him. He said, you know, we'll welcome him to the organization with open arms. What I do know is that he was highly sought after, that last offseason, the Bruins actually invited this kid to their development camp, and they were all over him. And they were one of many teams considering signing him. So, you know, I leave the scouting reports to the guys who follow that much closer, that level much closer than me. But, hey, you get another exciting guy, undrafted. He's free, right? Free agent. Doesn't cost you anything except less than $1 million a year. Why not take a flyer on him? And you also keep him away from a rival in Boston that also had eyes for him.
I'll give the Toronto media, like, 6 weeks, and this guy will be the biggest untouchable there is in the history of Maple Leaf.
Kipper, you're the media.
Yeah, I know.
No, I'm controlling you guys.
This is like a daily.
You guys are the hype machine of all hype machines. All right, Luke, you're an untouchable on our show, man. That's for sure. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Luke.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Sportsnet.ca's Luke Fox.
Books. Our boy Bukala, Jason Bukala, has an article on this Jacob Quillen.
Okay.
Sammy and I both text Books because we just wanted to scoop on this kid.
Yeah.
Books loves him. Like, engine, work, center. He won Defensive Player of the Year in the ECAC in his conference. Yeah. He won champion or national, like, player of tournament in the NCAA.
We want a quick scouting report from the Pro Hockey Group.
Let's hear it.
From Bukala. Quillen finished 18th overall in NCAA scoring in 23-24, 17 goals, 29 plus 17, 55.9 faceoff, averaged over 20 minutes ice, all situations in playoffs NCAA tournament for Quinnipiac. He's the kind of player who can be deployed in a variety of roles. Quillen plays quick and fast, tracks up and down the entire 200 feet. He scored several of his goals from between the hash marks in the middle of the offensive zone and around the crease via tips and rebounds. A relentless competitor who extends every play along the board and battles for positioning in the trenches, boys. He doesn't cut corners defensively, rotates very well in the PK, and jumps to loose pucks quickly. No discernible holes in his game at the college level. Projects as a solid third-line NHL forward who plays with detail and could provide better than secondary offense.
Kip talked to 6 weeks. The Toronto media will have him there. We just did it in 6 minutes.
He also enjoys fishing in the off season. That's and likes fast cars and fast women.
More.
Love this guy.
More. If you want more on him, just read Book's article because the best in the business.
Go get your Quillen jersey.
Yeah.
We're in.
Okay. What do you think's wrong with the power play?
Mitch Marner's not on it.
That's it?
Yeah.
You got
nobody. There's one guy passes the puck.
You got over $30 million without Mitch Marner.
All shooters. No one can.
Nobody wants to pass the puck.
Got $1 million to the top.
It's not that, honestly, if I'm not being glib, they can't get it set up in the same way. Nylander is good on the entries. Mitch is excellent on the entries. They are having trouble, to me, getting it across the blue with possession. So they're not having the prolonged ozone time they need.
This has been a very big problem over the years for Sheldon Keefe.
What?
The power play. When he's needed it most over his tenure as a head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, it has failed him miserably.
Absolutely.
Now, last year, they're 26% in the regular season. They were 25% in the playoffs. It's the first year they haven't been down 7% or worse.
And what happened last year?
They didn't win.
They went around.
Yeah.
So it worked.
Yeah.
And then they went ice cold in the second round. We should mention the Growlers.
Yeah, I wanted to just mention.
Yeah, just quickly, the ECHL affiliate of Toronto Maple Leafs.
This is not good.
This is really sad.
Ceases operations.
Newfoundland
today.
Is
done. Were the Leafs just a stroke of check and buy them?
I don't know. I don't know how this works.
Do they not use them? Do they not use them as a feeder?
They have. But the thing is, it is 10 times more difficult. You know, it's not an easy place to get in and out of in the winter.
It's expensive,
when you need
to too.
And yeah, calling someone up. It's like, sorry, there's a snowstorm.
They lose millions on the Toronto Marlies.
Yeah. I'm sure they do. But that's, you know, you develop one guy and you make that money back. That makes sense to me. The ECHL, it's hard to, like, Newfoundland had an AHL team, I don't know, 7-8 years ago. Great fans, great hockey town.
I played a game there.
Did you?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's an awesome place, and I feel for their fans. They deserve a team there. It's just really not a practical solution for teams, not an efficient thing.
It's sad.
It's sad. Yeah, I don't know what to say because it's sad. I get that it's not an efficiency, but that's a good hockey market.
Yeah.
Great place to have a team, and I'm really sad. I loved going there.
Yeah. Too bad.
All right, just one last note on specialty teams. Tampa Bay comes in with a very hot power play.
Let me just check where they are first in the NHL. almost a 30% power.
You will get the ultimate test on the PK.
Well,
Florida was good at they're top five, but I don't know what's going on with them. But Tampa comes in feeling a lot better than Florida did last night.
You know what's going on with them? At least penalty kill is just too good now.
PK,
can't touch the puck.
Defense.
All right, we're just getting warmed up here. All about the specialty teams on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Who do we got coming up, Jamal?
Jamal May is waiting outside the studio.
Waiting outside in studio guest as we continue and we go national on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Do not go away.